So living in the full experience of your blessing, it's not enough to say I'm saved, but it's important that you live in the full experience of that being saved. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, New Living Translation, like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. A full experience of salvation. A full experience of salvation. I want you to say it with me. A full experience of salvation. Say it louder, come on. A full experience of salvation. So it's not enough to say I'm saved, but are you living in the fullness of the experience of your salvation, in the fullness of what Christ died and paid for you to enjoy? That's the key thing to these things. If we see this in the season of buying, if you go and buy things and you don't use them, those things are not worth much to you. So living in the full experience of our salvation is very key. And we said last Sunday that, you know, the enemy will want you to give him your tongue, so it will hinder you from living in the full experience of your salvation. And the tongue is our steering. The tongue is what? It's your tongue that stirs your life. Your life follows your word. Your life follows your word. The experiences you have in life, it's what you've been talking, what you've been saying. Your word follows your life. So, and the enemy knowing that, he wants to take over our tongue and use it to say things that will move our destiny where God didn't plan it to be, where it is not part of the salvation that God gave us. Even the promises of God can be hindered by what we say. So it can steer you away from the full experience of your salvation into experiencing what Jesus didn't pay for you to have. And then we normally blame God, because the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Your tongue can destroy you, ruin your life, ruin your career, ruin your family, ruin your marriage, hinder the promises of God in you, put it to a stop. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Not wisdom of words. I don't want to embellish it or add my own words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So that when you feed on words that are not the gospel, the true gospel, then it makes the cross of none effect in your life. You don't live the fullness of your salvation. Then the Lord Jesus talked about the Jews who made the word of God of no effect through their traditions, through the things they were practicing that is not from God. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. You know, I'm not going to go into all that we read last Sunday. We read a lot of scriptures. Numbers chapter 28, 14, verse 28. That will be King James Version. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will what I do to you. It's what you say you get. You talk poverty, you remain poor. I don't care what you do. You talk defeat, you remain defeated. It's what you say. Your mouth. God says, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Verse 29, please. Your carcasses shall fall in this what? Wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upwards. Because these people in 20 years downwards didn't say nothing. They were the ones, these older people that were yapping and talking. It says, from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured what? Against me. The next verse. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you. Now, can you imagine God swear to you and say, this is yours? And then God said, you are not going to see. Is it that God is a liar? No. He said, but your mouth stopped. He said, you stopped it. I swear it to you. I gave it to you. I swore an oath that this is yours. But God said, you won't experience it. You won't have the fullness of that which is yours. The same thing in our salvation. Your mouth can stop you from experiencing the fullness of divine blessings in Christ. He said, doubtless you shall not come into the land. Well, doubtless is of no doubt. There's no way you're coming in there. Or concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh, and who again? Joshua, the son of Nun. These two people, in the thick of situation, said, our God is able. And will possess that land. And God said, they are going to possess it. But those of you who said, well, this is useless, worthless, say, you're not going to see it because that's what you said. Doubtless, that's what they're going to have. So you see that what we say can stop us from experiencing the fullness of our salvation. And the devil, knowing that, he wants to take over your tongue. We read it last Sunday. I'm not reading it again in Psalm 50, where it says, because you gave your mouth to evil. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the scripture gives us three conditions to see good days. And I want to dwell on those three conditions to see good days. 1 Peter 3:10. Do you know why the Bible says if you can't control your tongue that your religion is worthless? That your religion is what? Useless. It's because of this. That if you can't control what you say, you are going to ruin your Christianity. And then I gave you an example that Zechariah was going to talk and God shut his mouth. He said, until John the Baptist was born, you're not talking because you're going to stop this thing. Words are powerful. Tell your neighbor, word is your steering. Say it louder, come on. Words is your steering. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, New Living Translation, he says, for the scriptures say, if you, and while we're at it, I'm going to have a Sunday, by the grace of God, Pastor Victor, walk with us, please. I'm going to hold this on until more youths are on holiday, because there's something the Lord showed me that I'm going to do here. But I want it when, I don't know when they're usually on holiday, this December. Please help me and walk out one Sunday for me. Yeah, and that Sunday, I want all these youths, you must bring your children here. You must bring them here, because we're going to do that thing. And then you're going to see the effect in their lives. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Again, it's about words. So we're going to do that, but the pastor will give me a Sunday that all of them, more people will be on holiday, so that we'll be able to really, I'm going to do that, we're going to do that over them. They need it. They really need it. So 1 Peter 3:10 says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, number one on the list is keep your tongues. What is the number one on the list? Keep your tongues from speaking evil and your lips from telling. That's number one on the list. Because your tongue stirs your life. You might look at words as simple, but powerful. Stirs your life. So, Proverbs 13:3. Those who control their tongue will have what? A long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Can ruin everything. So we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 10. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. That's number one on the list. Number two on the list, verse 11. Turn away from what? I can't hear you. Number 11. Tell me this. Turn away from what? Evil and do good. And number three is search for peace and work to maintain. It's not just that you search for peace, but you make sure you maintain. Three conditions. Want to see good days, you want to see miracles in your life, you want to see, say, these are the three things that we must do. And so God gave us his word so that we can experience the fullness of our salvation. And that's why the Bible says, if you want to speak, speak as an oracle of God. God gave us his word so that it can stir our life towards the fullness of God's blessing that he gave us through Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ, let the message about who? Christ, in all its richness, do what? Fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms. Sing hymns, murmur a little, mix it up with complaining, and spiritual songs to give to God with what? Thankful heart. Now, you see, the real issue about us Christians is that we hear the word of God, we don't do it. Let me tell you something. There's no how, it doesn't matter how you are taught how to drive. Let me come here, because some of you don't have driver's license. No matter how they teach you how to drive, until you drive, you don't know how to drive. I don't care how you go to that driving, whatever, and they teach you for 6 months, they're still teaching you how to drive. You don't know how to drive until you sit down and engage in a car. And it is when you start driving, you really learn how to drive. Because there are certain things that book doesn't show. It is in the experience life, in the doing, that the word of God becomes real. That's where you learn it. And then you see some nitty-gritty and things, the angles and angles that the experience reveals to you. And so coming to church and hearing someone and you are not interested in doing it, it makes you really deceive yourself at the end of the day. I got into an aircraft once, and the aircraft had issues. I think so. Can't remember the exact circumstance, but I think it was something that the pilot felt that all of us were afraid. So in order to assuage our fear, he said, I too have a wife and children. And he said, I've been flying this for I don't know how many years. It's many years. I said, between me and my co-pilot, we have hundreds of hours of flight. You know what he was trying to do? To calm us down. So he was trying to let us know, listen, I don't want to die. So it's not as if to say, I'm flying you carelessly. So now, what he gave us as his resume was the many hundreds of hours he'd been flying. Now, supposing that pilot said, my name is Pilot Ezendokwere, and I have never flown a plane before, but I have a PhD in flying, but my name is Ezendokwere, I'm from Ekurobia. I have never flown a plane before. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot. President Dokwara, are you from Ekurobia? Do you know you really don't have confidence at all? Brethren, I want to beg us. Don't talk with the word of God. You will ruin your life. And you won't blame anybody. That's why it's called the word of life. It guides you to life. It guides you to life. It takes you to where God wants you to be. It brings you to the experience that God wants you to have. It's not a church thing. We don't have anything else to live by. You know, Obi, where's Obi, my boy? Obi, stand up, Obi. I love this boy a lot. Awesome boy. Obi told us something at prayer meeting. Awesome. Obi was telling us, he said, I don't know how many percent of people you told us that listen to the word and really do it. 2% by research. This boy was lamenting. This boy was lamented. It touched his heart. I mean, you look at a young boy like this, it touches you. That to him, why shouldn't people listen to the word of God? He was talking about how the word of God has transformed his life and what the word of God is doing in his life. He's lamenting about it. He said, only 2% of people who hear the word of God really, really engage in it after. The rest just... Praise the Lord. So it says in Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Where you start as a Christian is, let me tell you something, please. Focus on Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Looking unto, yes, you don't have salvation in any other. It's good to read the Old Testament. It's good to read all those things. But I'm telling you, if you want to really, 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 the fullness of Christ, you must know him. There's no other knowledge. Paul said there is nothing that compares with the knowledge of who? Christ. Nothing. You must focus on Jesus Christ with laser beam. The Holy Spirit wrote letters to the church. Dwell on the letters. Come from Matthew and things and things. If you see where I study mostly the letters. Mostly the letters. And I come back to Matthew, the Gospels, and I read the Gospels. I see the interpretation in the letters. And I go to the Old Testament. I see the prophecies. I see it fulfilled in the Matthew, Luke, and things. I go to Luke, the letters, where the Spirit of God is telling me the significance of what Christ came to do. I dwell mostly there. I study it mostly. Let the message about Christ in all his richness fill your life. That's what the Spirit of God told us. It's in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. When you study, when you focus on Christ, he is the revelation of the fullness of God. In him is the plan God has for you. All the plan God has for you is in Christ is fulfilled. We're looking outside of him. The Bible said it is in him that you have the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need to know is right there. And he is the author and finisher of your faith. There's no faith outside of him. So when you study and the knowledge, the word of Christ, in fact, the Bible calls him the word of life. 1 John chapter 1. If you start reading in New Living Translation, it said he is life itself. He is the life itself. He is the word of life and his eternal life. He's the word that was made flesh. So when you focus on the knowledge of Christ and this thing is in you in all its richness, like Proverbs 4:20 says, Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. 21. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them where? The midst of your heart. You see the instruction? 2% only do this. Others think I don't care. They go into religion and do things that God didn't prescribe. Complicate their lives. For they are what? What is it? It brings you the full experience of the life that God wants you to have. They are life unto those, not everybody. Those who what? Find it and keep it. Not just find it, keep it. Because the devil will try to fight you to drop it. He will raise his shoes in your life for you to drop it and say it doesn't work. He will do that. The Bible said, troubles will come because of the work. So you drop it and say it doesn't work. No, you hold on to it because it works all the time. So it says, for they are life to unto those that find them and what? To part of their body, all their flesh. So now when you have this in you, then out of your mouth will be coming the words of God, the testimony of God about Jesus. It will be coming out of your mouth. And the Bible says you overcome with the words of your testimony. It will come in. It will be coming. And then that word again will start your life towards what God wants it to be. It will start it towards what God wants it to be. The fullness of your salvation. Isn't the scripture that says the word is lamp unto my feet and light unto my what? It stars your life in the path. It's steering. Tell your neighbor the word is steering. Now tell him your word stars your life. I said more. Come on, go ahead. So if it's his word that I'm speaking, it's lamp and it's light unto my path. It stars me to the path of God's purpose and God's will, the fullness. It stars me, it stars me. And remember, when you are driving, I don't know how many of you have driver's license. Those of you who don't have, or those of you who got one from Lagos, it's all accepted. Have you ever driven? Do you notice your steering is not always steady? Something is trying to, and then you have to keep holding it. Am I right? Now, supposing you start driving and you put your hand over the thing and say, man, this car is awesome. And you are sitting next to the person. What will you tell him? My friend, hold the... Yeah. So now the word of God is your steering, but you have to hold it. Because something brings potholes in your life. Brings trials. Pushes you here. Pushes you there. Trials of life. Push you here. Some are very strong wind. Some are potholes that you hear. Boom, it makes noise. Some want to tie you off of that. But you hold steady. You're not going nowhere. We're keeping in this world. This is the world of life. This is where I'm settled. I'm not going to the right or to, because I've found it. It's producing the life. It was sent to bring healing. It was sent to bring deliverance. It was sent to bring all the blessings of God. As simple as it looks. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:5. Those people belong to this world. So they speak from the world's what? Point of view. And the world listens to them. Have you realized that if you start speaking the word of God, you are going to be opposed? Why? It sounds foolish. You are going to be opposed by the very Christians that you know. Because they are not used to it. Sounds foolish. Very foolish. So, those people belong to this world. So, they speak from the world's point of view. And the world listens to them. Now, 6. But we belong to God. And those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to us, they do not what? Listen to us. That is why we know. That is how we now know if someone has the spirit of the truth or spirit of deception. So if you are speaking the word of God, that's spirit of truth. But if you are speaking from God's point of view, everything is human knowledge, everything is decided the way human beings see it, so it's a spirit of deception. Because the spirit that behind the word is called Satan. It's called Satan. Because the Bible says, he that speaketh, let him speak as an oracle of God. Say it. Let it come out of your mouth. It stirs you. Say it. Whether the word agrees with you or not. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. And say it boldly. Keep saying what God said. Keep saying the word that, and keep studying it. Keep saying it so. It might look foolish initially, but the word will triumph. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Now the other thing is, he says we should depart from evil. We should depart from evil. And number one evil is unbelief. Every other thing we do arises from unbelief. Unbelief is disagreeing with God, not agreeing with God. Everything we do comes from not agreeing with God. If God says don't steal, if you steal, you are disagreeing with God. It's unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. If you hold this, if you don't give up on it, you become a partaker of Christ. If you hold, it's conditional. It's not that you go to Fountain of Living Word Church. It's conditional. Go back, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. We begin to enjoy the fullness of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until what? Today. You don't give up your confidence in the Word of God. You don't. You hold it steadfast to the end. Then that's what makes you partaker of the fullness of your salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You don't stop. I've never seen anybody, you are driving your car, and then, you know, your car moves this way. You say, this car is useless, you stop. They say, what's wrong? You say, I don't know why this car moved here. They'll call intervention. Because all you need to do is put it back on the road. Praise the Lord. The only people who leave their car is people who have taken one thing or the other, or have injected some things. One man was driving and saw a police car parked with light. He stopped this car. He went to the officer. He said, officer, do you need help? I came to help you. So, out of his mouth came fume of alcohol. So he said, officer, if you need help, I'm here to help you. Can I call police for you? So they say, yeah, don't call. We need help. Can you sit in the police car? Because we're taking you to the station. And he was charged for driving under. It's people who don't have their mind that do stuff like that. So you have to keep your confidence to the end. You have to keep your confidence to the end. Verse 15, Hebrews 3, 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. See what unbelief does. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let's look at verse 2 again. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not what? Come on now. Did not what? Come on, church. Did not what? Why didn't it profit them? Not being mixed with faith in them that had. Like I'm teaching you now. I'm preaching now. And you'll read the Bible. If you don't mix it with faith, it won't profit you. There's no magic about this. It won't profit. You're not going to see it work. It's not going to work. Because it has to. It's through faith these things work. It's not going to work. And faith is believing what God says, agreeing with God and standing with it. Come rain, come assumption. It's not going to work. So you see how doubt and unbelief can hinder me and you from experiencing the fullness of our salvation. And when we fail, we delve into all manner of rituals, totally not from the Holy Spirit. And we open the door to demonic spirits to infiltrate our lives. And end it sooner than it should have been. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So the answer to these things is faith coming by and hearing. Jesus is the source of faith. The knowledge of Christ is the source of faith. That's why he's the author of it. That's why he's the foundation of it. That's why he's the object of it. That's why the Bible says those that trust in him. So we must endeavor and make it our goal to know Christ crucified and study to know him. And ask the Holy Spirit to teach us to open our eyes. One of our youths was sharing in our prayer meeting how the scripture has been reading. He went to God, he said, Lord, I want you to open my eyes. He said, my God. He said, the same scripture, not another. He said, I read it, it was like another, I was in a new world. I said, yeah, that's what it happened. When you have desire, you go to the teacher and said, open my what? Eyes. He will show you. He will show you. He will show you. Praise the Lord. And this is a prayer you must pray all the time. This prayer, my wife and I, since we learned this thing, that's our major prayer. Even for this church, that's our major prayer. That God will open our eyes. Now, it says, the third condition is that we must pursue peace. We must follow peace and maintain it. We must what? We must what? And do what? And maintain it. The first one we talked about is controlling your tongue. Number two is what? Depart from evil. And I said number one evil is evil of unbelief. Because unbelief is that you don't agree with God. And then two cannot work together except they agree. And that's what makes you do every other thing you are doing. Because if you really agree with God, then you follow what God said. Now, the third one now is peace. Pursuing peace. Now, look at Luke chapter 10, verse 5. I want you to know that God doesn't walk in an atmosphere where there's no peace. Luke chapter 10, verse 5. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say. What is the first thing? I didn't hear you. What's the first thing? Peace be unto this house. That's the first thing. Then continue. And if the Son of Peace be there, conditional now. Brethren, read the Bible in between. Read it carefully. The Son of Peace be that, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall what? Turn back to you. This is the Lord telling us that God doesn't walk where there is rancor. Doesn't work where there is quarreling and fighting. He doesn't do that. And that's why the devil wants to initiate fighting, initiate quarreling. He knows that that will hinder God. Verse 7. And in the same house now remain, do what? Eat and drink such things as they give you. For the laborer is worthy. So that's where you labor now. That's where God is going to walk. Go not from house to house. Remain that place where there is peace. Now, if those people will come to your house and they say, peace, I don't know if what they will find there. Why did Jesus say to them, the first thing you need to declare is peace? Why? Because God walks in an atmosphere of what? Peace. God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God of confusion. The devil walks in an atmosphere of wahala and trouble and quarrel and fighting. And that's what, as a Christian, you must stop at all costs. Because the Bible says, if you want to see good days, you must seek for peace and maintain it. Don't let that happen. It doesn't matter. You know, God used my wife to cure me. My wife, God used her to cure me. Because I will shigala and genwa, we duke it out in between. We argue and talk. And one day my wife said, my husband, come here. He said, all this argument. Suppose you win the argument, what have you profited from? He said, you can win an argument and hurt somebody in the process. The person is mad, angry. You gain nothing. He said, you can win an argument and you lose a soul. That's what she told me. That's why I married her. That's why I bought those clothes for her. He said, yeah, my wife, God used my wife to teach me things. My wife taught me about cleanliness of the tongue. I didn't know. She taught me. She taught me. And so she was teaching me now. He said, you can win an argument and lose a soul. He said, so what does it profit you? He said, why not you lose an argument and win a soul? Did you get what she was saying? Why don't you lose the argument and what? Win a soul. The thing cured me. And he said, it's not about you. It's about Jesus now. Why don't you take the fall? Do you know that the Bible is awesome? It said that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You can know something, and because you know, it doesn't give you right. It doesn't give you right not to love your brother, even if he doesn't know as much as you. Paul said, look, eating meat is not wrong, but he said, I would rather not eat meat if it will wound the conscience of my brother. You can know a lot of things, but you see your brother doesn't know that much. You don't go and be doing like that, arguing with no. It's okay, my brother, it's okay. Because give him time. With time, the Lord will also teach him. And you too may not. There's this 5% you may be wrong. There's always this 5% you may what? Be wrong. As you keep growing in your Christianity, there are certain things you are doing which you will not do again. Because now you realize that, wow. But then you were shigala like me. You know what shigala means? Eh? Put your feet down and say, it's me and you. We duke it up. And now the devil sees that kind of prideful attitude. He has a place to walk. Has a place to walk. Because now he starts trouble in that house. He hinders your walking in the fullness of your blessing. And at the end of the day, you lose. Big time. You create a platform for him. You build an airport for him. For instance, the Bible says that the anger gives foothold to who? You're not talking. To the devil. So if it stirs you and you're steaming, you're just building an airport and he will land. And he's landing not to come and help you. It's to kill, destroy, and steal. But you build the landing strip. You gave him where to put his foothold. But supposing at that time you say, no, my flesh will not control me. The love of God will what? You see, the word of God starts to steer you away from this one, towards this one. I'm positioning you to still walk in the path that God has chosen for you. For love is greater than everything else. Can I hear amen? Are you following what I'm saying? It's a fight. The car has hit pothole, boom. And the devil wants to push it and you say, no. We walk in Christ, in the love of God, that's where I'm going. You're not pushing me. My flesh can't control. I must be led of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. And then with time, you find joy of victory bubbling. And then the Spirit of God will come and explain to you, that's what the devil did that day. Can I hear amen? Yeah. But my wife will come and say, honey, once she start calling me honey, she's staring. Honey, I love you. Yeah, staring. Staring. I know they're staring. Sorry to staring. Sorry to stare this thing toward the love of God. But I'm like you. Don't look at me like that, my friend. Staring it. Staring. I'm like you. Staring the thing. Awesome. Can I hear amen? Tell your neighbor, you don't have to win. Tell your neighbor what I said. Let God win. Ah, say it as I said it. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to win. Let God win. And that's good for you. Praise the Lord. How do you think you'll be trained in patience, long-suffering, if you don't face things that are like that? Is it not what you practice? Practice makes what? Yeah, that's why you practice to be patient with people now. You want to they are saying something that irritates you, but you want to hear them out. Because in hearing them out, then you can articulate a better response. If you call somebody halfway, you haven't had all the information. Praise the Lord. So, peace is very important. Look at James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy, but if you have bitter what? Envy and what? What is strife? And I'm a quick, what is strife? I know the Greek. Strife, I know the Greek. Huh? I know the, yeah, strife is disagree. What is strife, Eddie? That's, I know the Greek. Strife is disagreement. But the Bible says that love does not seek its own right. You see how it starts you away from it? Love does not seek what? It allows God. God is God. Into your hand, Lord. You stay away. And God takes it over. And you win. At the end of the day, you win. Because it's God that gives us what? Victory. But you want to go get victory. That's why I now agree. Because you want the victory by your force. And then the devil will come and scatter everything. So he said, why does strife? Where? In your heart. Glory not, and don't lie against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descended not from where? That's not God walking. But it is, number one, earthly. Number two. Number three, what? So when it's devilish and you allow it, you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. And the man is a killer. He's a destroyer. And the worst thing is that he walks so softly. You wouldn't know it's him. But he wants a foothold. And you are praying up and down. Nothing is happening. And things are going backwards because you allowed him in. He's hindering the fullness of your salvation. One time the Lord told me, he said, when you take away the devil, he said, then nothing will hinder you. So we must pursue peace and maintain it. Can I hear amen? Am I communicating? Be a fool. It is with the heart of a child you enjoy the kingdom of God. Be vulnerable. Shut your mouth. For once, lose. Give the other person right of way. And watch what God will do. God will come there and lift you because he knows you did this in honor of him. Stop fighting. Let God fight. You live long. All that sweat and that, God uses that to cure me. That's why in heaven, I'm going to have the same mansion with her. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating to you? Let there be peace, please. Let there be peace. Because if God finds a man of peace, then the peace of God will rest there. They'll be feasting. They'll be eating. They'll be this thing. That's what Jesus said. That'll be. It's simple. It's not difficult to do. And then the other one that I want to talk to us, this timekeepers, you people took 10 minutes from me. I caught you red-handed. So I'm taking back my 10 minutes. Can I continue? I want to share something that will bless you. The second piece is that you must have peace within you. You must have what? Philippians 4, 6. Put 10 minutes there, because that's what that's the right time I should have. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in how many things? Everything. By prayer, supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, now, when you do this, the peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding, shall now keep your hearts and minds through our Lord. Yeah. You must understand that anxiety is a presence of turmoil. And anxiety will hinder God. It will stop the peace of God from working, and then it will hinder God in your life. You must fight. Jesus said to us, let not your heart be what? Troubled. You say you have tribulations in this world, but do me a favor, please. Don't let your heart be troubled. Be anxious for nothing. Go to bed and sleep. I want to tell us a story. I heard this story from Paul Yonggi-cho. Let's see what you make out of this story. It tells a story about a lady who was so anxious. She and the husband had major issue, serious issue. They were going to be homeless and a lot of things. And then after she preached somewhere, the pastor told him, he said, I want you to go and spend the night in one of our deacon's houses. He said, no, I'm not going to stay in somebody's house. I prefer to stay in a hotel. I have the money. He said as they were talking, the man's wife came. She was a very huge German lady. Very huge. He said, the woman came, carried my bag, held my hand, and said, we're going. He said, whoa, I'm going to follow her. Because it's like a war. So he said, I followed her to the house. And then I said, I was so hungry. He said, okay, I'm going to make food for you. And they said, they call it tea, preparing tea instead of supper. I don't know how many of you have been to Britain. They call it preparing tea. They don't call it supper like we say. We eat supper. They say, we are going to have tea. Because they drink a lot of tea. So he said, I'm going to prepare tea. And he said, he came down. There was no food. There was no tea. Instead, he saw this woman crying profusely. Crying uncontrollably. He said, you said you are preparing food. I'm hungry. There's no food. And they are crying. And then the woman said, that's why I brought you here. He said, sit down. He said, my husband and I are in a big trouble. We have been praying and praying. We prayed. We non-stop. Everything is getting worse. And we don't know why God will not answer us. And he said, after he told him all this, he said to the woman, go and bring your Bible. So the woman brought her Bible. And he said to the woman, go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start reading. Said, in the first day, what did God create? Who remembers? Eh? Then the second day, what did he create? Okay, let me save you the trouble. So when your children don't do well, you don't beat them down because you didn't do well here. So the first day, God didn't create Adam. God created something. Second day, God created another thing. Third day, God created another thing. So he made the woman be reading it. And then the fourth day, God created another thing. The fifth day, God created what? Another thing. And then on the sixth day, can we open it? The Lord said to me, say, no, go back, let them open it. Open it. Genesis chapter what? Okay. And God said, let there be a firmament and the midst of the waters, and let it divide waters from the waters. Continue now. Continue. Continue now. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Continue. Just keep going. And God called the firmament heaven, and evening and the morning were the second day. We're on the second day, right? Come on now. Okay. And God said, let there be waters under the heaven. Be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters called his seas. And God said, saw that it was what? Good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, yielding seed, the fruit, tree, yielding, and all that. And then all that, and it was so. And then the next verse. And the earth brought forth grass, and you can read it, then the next verse. And the evening and the morning were what day? Okay, let's continue. And God said, let there be light, firmament, and then the next verse. And it was so now, the next verse. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made also the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. and to rule over the earth. And God says, and it was good. So the next verse, and evening and the morning were what day? How many days remaining? We have done four now. Okay, let's continue. And then, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that had life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Okay, continue. And then that was what was created, the winged things, and it was good. Then the next verse, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply on earth. Continue. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. We're on the fifth day, right? Okay, let's go to the sixth one. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast. That's what he did that day, and it was good. Continue. And God said, let us make... Now, it was good. That's the sixth day, right? So now we're now in what day? It is the sixth day. And God, after God has finished this creation, right? Come on, am I right? Okay, now. And God said, let us now make what? Man, in our own image, after our own likeness. Okay, that's it. Now, he said to the woman, he said, God created all these things. And he said, he finally created Adam and Eve. He said, is it not surprising that God didn't create Adam and Eve first, so they will help him? And create, he said, how come God, he said, if I'm God, I would have created Adam and Eve first. Because if I need them, then I would have created. So they now help me, because all this creation is a lot of work. They would have come to help. He said, he created everything. And now created Adam and Eve, what? Last. He said, why did he do that? Can somebody tell me? He doesn't need Adam and Eve to create us. Number two, he created all these things for who? So what was Adam and Eve? Why did he create them? To come and enjoy all these things. He said to the woman, and as long as Adam and Eve was enjoying what God gave them, they didn't need to labor, because it has already been. Come on now. He said, and that is called grace. He did say this, but the Lord told me, he said, do you know that was grace? Because I provided this thing for them free. That was grace. They were living in grace. Now, God says to them, don't touch the tree of what? Tree of life. The knowledge of good and bad. Which means, don't decide for yourself what is good to do and what is bad. I will decide. I decided. Don't decide it. I created you to just come and enjoy. He said, and the devil came to them and said, you need to also be like God and decide. You can be like God also and what? Decide. And they say, yeah, we can be like God. And they ate the fruit of good. They say, we want to be. Remember what the devil told them. You too can also decide. And God said, we don't have two masters in this boat now. Kick them. And immediately kick them out. I want you to listen. Immediately kick them out. God said to them, you are now going to labor to produce all these things. My friend, you are going to now. All these things you are enjoying free, no more. Since you are the one deciding good and bad, you now take responsibility for your life also. And they found out they couldn't handle sin. Sin came, murder came, confusion came, they couldn't handle it. Sickness came, trouble came, they couldn't handle it. Because now they were on their, praise the Lord. So, he said to the woman, the reason you are struggling is because you and your husband have made up your mind to eat the fruit of bad and good. And if God have told you, be anxious for nothing. But two of you decided that God doesn't know what he's doing. So you decided that we're going to decide what is good for us. And so you are outside like Adam and Eve, sweating and nothing is happening. He said you are living under a curse. He said, that's your problem. He said, when Jesus came, God came in his love and said, let me bring them back to grace again, where I will give them everything I have created free of charge, but you just accept it by faith because it is freely given. He said, Christians won't take it. They are still eating the fruit of Adam and living like Adam outside, instead of living like Adam inside the garden. But the garden of Gethsemane restored us to what we lost in the garden of Eden. Is anybody following me? And then he said to the woman, he said, you are under a curse, you are laboring like Adam. That's why you are about to be homeless. He said, I will tell you how to stop that. Is anybody interested? If you're interested, shout hallelujah. Now he told the woman, he said, let me tell you what to do. He said, stop eating the fruit of good and evil. Let God decide for you. And God has told you what is good for you. Only believe. And you what? See, he said, stop arguing with God. Stop that thing Adam and Eve did. Only he said, God gave us everything richly to enjoy. God didn't create you to come and labor for it. He said, the only labor I want you to do is to enter my rest. Stop from your labors. Stop from your worries. Stop from your wahalas. I have finished the work from the foundation of the earth. Come back like Adam was enjoying these things. And in Christ, you have all the riches of God available for you, free of charge. All you need to do by faith, enjoy it. Don't labor for it. If you do, you go under a curse. Is anybody following me? He said, okay, now, carry all this, your anxiety, and all this, your worry, and say to the Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I've eaten the fruit, the tree of what? Good and evil. And now I don't want no more. I'm coming back to trust you with my life. All these burden and things, they are not mine. And the man said something that ministered to me. He said, works belongs to God, burden belongs to Jesus, none belongs to you. And then he said, you know, when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he said it is an Eastern language. That in the Eastern world, a yoke is, if you want to train a little calf, you know, you bring the father and the mother, yoke them together as they are. Then the little calf is under them. They are the ones pulling. The little calf is just under them and following. So the little calf is doing, that's what Jesus meant by follow my yoke. He said, that thing is follow my yoke. He said, I'm the one that is carrying the thing, doing the, all you do is follow my, pick it and take and enjoy what I'm producing for you. Is anybody following me? Thank you. I mean, are you following me? He said, we just knelt down and said to the Lord, we repent of all of this. No more troubles. We're entering into our rest. We are blessed. We are healed. We are provided for. Everything is provided for me. And I'm excited about it. He said, we just prayed and the woman got up and started to shout. He said, a big load, woo, off me. And he said, it wasn't long. I got a letter from her written in gold. He said, Pastor, a few days after, somebody came along. We thought we were going to be homeless. The house we have, not only did they buy it, they multiplied the money beyond our imagination. And all our financial woes were solved in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And this is what they were praying, laboring, like Adam and Eve, laboring, 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 laboring some more, instead of entering into his what? Rest. Is anybody following me here? If you got what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. So we're going to enter into his rest right now. I want you to rise up with me.